السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. معاشر الأحبة، قبل أن نبدأ في الخطبة تنبيهات أربع نقدم بها خطبتنا اليوم. الأولى هي أن من جاء إلى الجمعة الإمام قد رق المنبر والمؤذن يرفع الأذان فلا يبقى واقفا يردد خلف المؤذن، وإنما يأتي بتحية المسجد ليجلس وينصت للخطيب، لأن الترديد خلف المؤذن سنة والإنصات للخطيب واجب. والتنبيه الثاني هو أن كثيرا من إخواننا يصلون في وسط المسجد أو في آخره دون اتخاذ سترة تساهلا في ذلك، وقد شدد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على ذلك. فاحذروا يا أحبتي في الله، لا تبطل صلاتكم وتأثمون بترككم أمر نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم. الأمر الثالث هو أن كثيرا من إخواننا يستحب الاتكاء إلى ما يسند إليه ظهره، فلذلك إن جاء من أول الوقت آثر أن يبقى في آخر المسجد، وبهذا قد فوت على نفسه أجرا عظيما دل عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بقوله: من اغتسل يوم الجمعة ثم أتى المسجد فمشى ولم يركب ودخل المسجد ثم دنا من الإمام. ولاحظوا قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ثم دنا من الإمام، فيقترب من الإمام ويصلي ما شاء الله له أن يصلي بغير تحديد عدد من الركعات، يسلم من كل ركعتين، عندها يغفر له ويؤتى سؤله. وأما التنبيه الرابع والأخير فهو أن كثيرا من إخواننا قد لوحظ عليه أنه عند اقتراب انتهاء الخطبة الثانية يقف استعدادا للصلاة، وهذا خطأ، والواجب أن يبقى جالسا حتى يفرغ الخطيب من خطبته تماما، ثم عند ذلك إذا قام المؤذن لإقامة الصلاة قام هو استعدادا لها. هذا ما أردنا التقديم به بين يدي خطبتنا هذه التي عنونا لها بقول الله عز وجل: إن الإنسان لفي خسر. نعم يا أحبتي في الله، إن ميزان الفوز والخسارة في هذه الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة إنما يتوقف على مدى تمسك الإنسان بأوامر الله، بأوامر الله تعالى له من عدم تمسكه. ولقد جاء ذكر الخسران في القرآن الكريم أكثر من 60 مرة بألفاظ متقاربة ومعان متباينة، تناولت في مجملها أسباب الخسران ونتائجه. فكان من أسباب الخسران جعل المرء ولاءه وبراءته مرهونان بأمور الدنيا لا على أساس الآخرة ومرضات الله عز وجل. قال تعالى كما في سورة الحج في الآية 11 منها: ومن الناس من يعبد الله على حرف، فإن أصابه خير اطمأن به، وإن أصابته فتنة انقلب على وجهه، خسر الدنيا والآخرة، ذلك هو الخسران المبين. فإن من الناس من يعبد الله على حرف، أي على طرف، يرتقب ما يجري له، فإن جاءه من جراء العبادة خير اطمأن به وقال: قد رضي الله عني، وربما تهاون بعد ذلك في العبادات. ومنهم من يعبد الله على حرف، فإن أصابته سيئة أو بلية أو فوات شيء كان يحب الحصول عليه انقلب على وجهه، وجاء في الآية الأخرى: انقلب على عقبه، أي تراجع عن عبادة ربي والاطمئنان لما قال الله عز وجل. فتراه ينكث ما قد بنى، فتراه ينكث ما قد بنى كالتي نكثت غزلها من بعد قوة أنقال. فعلينا أن نعلم ذلك جيدا، وأن نستمسك بأمر ربنا وأن لا نحيد عنه قيد أنملة، لأن هذا النوع من العبادة يؤدي إلى تسلط الشياطين. ولعلكم تذكرون ما قال ربكم عن عدوكم الألد الخصم إبليس: أعاذنا الله وإياكم من شره ومكره، كما في سورة النساء في الآيتين 19 و20 بعد 100: من توعد إبليس لنا جميعا أي بني آدم. قال الله عز وجل عنه أنه قال: ولأضلنهم ولأمنينهم ولآمرنهم فليبتكن آذان الأنعام ولآمرنهم فليغيرن خلق الله. قال الله عز وجل: ومن يتخذ الشيطان وليا من دون الله فقد خسر خسرانا مبينا. يعدهم أي الشيطان ويمنيهم فما يعدهم الشيطان إلا غرورا. فاحذروا يا عباد الله، احذروا من عدوكم وأساليبه وألاعيبه، وإن من إطاعة الشيطان إطاعة أوليائه الكافرين، كما بين الله عز وجل ذلك في محكم التنزيل في الآية 49 بعد 100 من سورة آل عمران، حيث قال الله عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن تطيعوا الذين كفروا يردونكم على أعقابكم فتنقلبوا خاسرين. فهل يعي المسلمون هذا الأمر جيدا ليحموا أنفسهم وأهليهم من الهلاك المتمثل في نبذ حكم الله، وفي الاحتكام إلى غير شرع الله، وفي الاهتداء بغير هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كما قال الله عز وجل في الآية 85 من سورة آل عمران: ومن يبتغ غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. فإطاعة الكافرين واتباع هدي غير هدي سيد المرسلين هو حقا الخسران المبين. فقد قال الله تعالى واصفا ذلك، قال: ومن يكفر بالإيمان فقد حبط عمله وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. أي عباد الله، استجيبوا لأمر الله واستمسكوا بما أنزل الله ولا تتحولوا عنه إلى غيره، مهما أبدى لكم الشيطان وأولياءه أن الأمان والحرية والسعادة فيما وضعه الإنسان من القانون القاصر لقصور واضعه. واحذروا أن تكونوا ممن قال الله فيهم: ولا ترتدوا على أدباركم فتنقلبوا خاسرين. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم الجليل لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين والمؤمنات من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الهادي إلى رضوانه، والصلاة والسلام على النبي محمد وإخوانه وأعوانه، أما بعد، فيا عباد الله، لقد لخص الله تعالى أسباب الخسارة بعد أن أفاض في بيانها في أكثر من 60 آية من كتابه الكريم. فقد قال تعالى في سورة هي من أوجز سور القرآن في آياتها ومن أعجزها للناس في مدلولاتها ومن أكملها وأوفرها وأوسعها في بياناتها، حتى لقد قال الإمام الشافعي رضي الله عنه: لو ما أنزل الله على خلقه سورة إلا هذه لكفتهم، إنها سورة العصر التي كان الصحابة رضي الله عنهم كلما التقوا قرأها بعضهم لبعض تذكيرا لما فيها من بيان. يقول المولى عز وجل: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. فالله عز وجل يقسم وهو أصدق القائلين، والقسم بالعصر وهو عمر الإنسان الثمين، والمقسم عليه متحقق لا محالة وهو الخسران المبين، إلا من استثنى الله عز وجل من الخسران، وهم من أتى بأربعة أشياء: الإيمان المتضمن لتصديق القلب ونطق اللسان وعمل الجوارح والأركان، والعمل الصالح المبني على الإخلاص لله والاتباع لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، والثالث التواصي بالحق الذي هو نشر الدين وتعليمه للآخرين والحث على التمسك به بعدا عن إحداث المحدثين، والرابع التواصي بالصبر وهو في أمور ثلاث: صبر على طاعة الله حتى تؤدى، وصبر عن معاصي الله حتى تجتنب، وصبر على أقدار الله المؤلمة. فمتى كانت الأمة جماعات وأفرادا حكاما ومحكومين محققين لما جاء في هذه السورة وأمثالها من هدايات، كان النصر على الأعداء حليفهم، والنعيم في الدنيا والآخرة جزاؤهم، لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. فاللهم ألهمنا رشدنا، وأصلحنا وأصلح ولاة أمرنا، واهدنا واهد بنا، وهيئ الهدى لنا. اللهم أمن المسلمين في أوطانهم، واجعلهم إلى شريعتك لا إلى غيرها يحتكمون هم وولاة أمرهم. اللهم أمن روعهم، واحقن دماءهم، واحفظ بلادهم، ونم اقتصادهم، وأغنمهم واغنهم بك يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم إنا نسألك بأنك أنت الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، أن تحفظ بلاد الكنانة حكاما ومحكومين. اللهم احفظهم، اللهم احفظهم من شماتة الشامتين، ومن حقد الحاقدين، ومن دسائس الداسين. اللهم احفظ دماءهم وأموالهم وأعراضهم وأرضهم وأمنهم. اللهم اهديهم أجمعين للحق يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعلهم يرفعونك ويحتكمون إليه امتثال أمرك، حيث قلت: فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله وإلى الرسول. اللهم إنا نسألك المسلمين أجمعين في سائر المعمورة أمنا وأمانا وعزا وكرامة. اللهم أعزهم بعزك، وأمنهم بأمنك، واغنهم من فضلك يا رب العالمين. اللهم أبعد القلاقل والمحن من بلاد المسلمين في مصر والسودان وبلاد الأفغان وفي الجزائر وتونس وغير البلدان يا رب العالمين. اللهم أنزل على المؤمنين إيمانا منك وأمانا. اللهم واجعلهم جميعا يحتكمون إليك سنة وقرآنا. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فصلوا على نبيكم، واحمدوا ربكم، واشكروه على ما أنعم به عليكم، واذكروه يذكركم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
حالوا بين المناكب والأقدام، لا تدعوا مرجات الشيطان. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين، وهذا البلد الأمين، لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم، ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر الله أكبر سمع الله من حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله
الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد dear brothers and sisters as you hear that the khutbah begun by khutbah al-hajj and then we gave four advices which is not from the khutbah just advises for what is related to the etiquette of Jummah prayer. And we said that there are four things that we want to draw your attention to. First, is that many people come while the Muazzin is raising the Adhan after the Imam already climbed the member. And instead of praying the two rak'ah Tahiyyatul Masjid and sit down, they prefer to be standing repeating after the Muazzin until the Muazzin finished and then they pray, and that's wrong because Tahiyyatul Masjid is Sunnah and listening to the Khatib is Wajib, so we do not put the Sunnah before the Wajib. The one who come while the Muazzin is raising the Adhan, he should pray two rak'ah and then sit down listening to the Khutbah. The other thing that we mentioned, that many brothers come early and they prefer to lean their backs to a wall, so they sit to the back side of the masjid, which make them lose a very high reward. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever take a shower on Friday and come to the masjid walking and come into the masjid and come closer to the imam, closer to the imam, and pray as much rak'at as he like, not limited, not four or two, as he like, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, 12, whatsoever, but to be in two rak'at, yani he must make taslim every two rak'at. then he would be given a high reward and his sin would be forgiven. And the fourth thing that we mentioned is that many brothers, once the khutbah, and once the khatib reaches towards the ends of the khutbah, not yet finished, and they feel that it is coming to finish, they stand up waiting for the salah before the khatib finishes. And that's wrong. We should remain seated until the khatib stops completely and the muazzin begins the iqamah. Starts the iqamah, then you can stand up, no problem. These four things we just mentioned at the beginning of the khutbah. And then I began the khutbah, which was titled by the great loss. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Asr, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Verily, the scale of win and loss in this life world and in the year after depends on how much you stick to the commands of Allah and how far you stay away from the forbiddings of Allah Ta'ala. Verily, the loss is mentioned in the Quran for more than 60 times. And in fact, it was, as I counted it, 65 times. The loss is mentioned by different forms. Sometimes past tense, sometimes present tense, sometimes noun. Singular, plural, so, and sometimes as a threat. Sometimes it is used as a threat. Now, so, and also it concluded the causes of loss and the consequences of it. It's not a loss like a loss and you halas and no problem, something you lost. No. It's not like a loss of money. The loss in this aspect means that you are losing the akhirah. You're losing the akhirah, so you have to be careful. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 11. As Allah Ta'ala said as in Surah Al-Hajj, Ayah 11, Allah Ta'ala said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ خسر الدنيا والآخرة ذلك هو الخسران المبين. Allah Ta'ala is saying, as in the interpretation of the, or the meaning of the interpretation of this ayah, and among mankind is he who worships Allah as it were upon the edge, meaning not certain, with doubts. Not certain. The one who is certain will always be on what he believes. He does not bounce between here and there. Now, if good falls him, he is content therewith. But if a trial befalls him, he turns back on his face, meaning reverts to disbelief after embracing Islam, after believing. And this happened a lot. Don't be so surprised. It happened a lot. When the person worships Allah with no certainty, then very easily he will slip off the rack of belief. And I can give you at least two examples of our days of people who, subhanAllah ta'ala, came out of Islam. One was an author who wrote books refuting the infidels. And the other is a youngster who wanted to be one of the seven people that Allah Ta'ala shade on the day of resurrection. And then Allah Ta'ala gave them the shade on the day of resurrection. And he constantly staying in the masjid. The first one, the author, wrote many books against the infidels, the disbelievers, the godless people, refuting their thoughts with very clear evidences, which maybe made some of them to accept Islam. But because this man, Allah A'lam, Allah knows best, he was worshipping Allah not as a certain. So very soon, he believed in what the infidels themselves believe. And he wrote books refuting his old books. So he came out of Islam. He disbelieved in Allah at all. What was the consequence? He died on the beach in Alexandria in Egypt, along with what you know of the naked bodies there. See how he ended up his life. The other example, or the other story, is of a young man who was worshipping Allah very strongly. I can't say very sincerely, because sincerity is in the heart. I can't judge it. But I can't say that it wasn't sincerely, because of the consequences we saw of what happened later. This boy wanted to marry his cousin. The boy is orphaned. The boy is poor. He went to his uncle and asked for marrying his daughter. The uncle refused him because he is poor and he is religious and he is this and that. The boy kept asking Allah to make the uncle agree, but the uncle continued to refuse him. The boy one day lost hope that his uncle accepted. He then said to Allah, "Oh Allah, I worshipped you all this time, never asked you anything, and now when I ask you only one thing, you refuse to give it to me?" This is a disbelief. This is kufr. You cannot speak to Allah like that. Now if these two, to what we see, highest quality of scholar and worshipper, they came off Islam that easily, what about you and I? What about you and me? We worship very lightly and slightly and little. We are not scholars, we are not authors, we're only common. Should we not fear that Allah Ta'ala may make us misguided and raise His protection from us? And that's why we have to ask Allah all the time to keep us guided. We have to ask Allah to keep us upon the guidance and never ever be attracted with what people do. Huh? Here Allah Ta'ala didn't say, he, meaning that man, loses both this world and hereafter, and the hereafter. This is the evident loss, or the great loss. So Allah Ta'ala said that about this man. What causes this type of loss? It is your enemy. Your enemy, which no doubt that it is an enemy. It cannot be a friend of you. It is the shaitan. The shaitan is your real enemy. The shaitan, as Allah told us in Surah Al-Nisa, Ayah 119 and 120, that he, the shaitan, said to Allah, look what he said to Allah. So you know your enemy. Because many people take the advisors who they call them Wahhabis, this mutashaddid, traditional. They want to take us back to the dark centuries, as they call it. Dark centuries. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, was it dark? He is a light. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a light from Allah ta'ala that gave the light to all world. Now we call it the centuries of darkness. Wallahi, the darkness is only in this time and what comes after it. Because we are towards the Akhirah. We are very close to the Akhirah. Naam? Allah Ta'ala said, as in this ayah, ayah 19, that the shaitan said, وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَأَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانَ وَلِيًّا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ خَسِرَ خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا. يعدهم ويمنيهم وما يعدهم الشيطان إلا غرورا أولئك مأواهم جهنم ولا يجدون عنها محيصا. Ayah 119, 20 and 21. Allah Ta'ala say, verily I will mislead them. That is the shaitan. The shaitan is saying, Allah is telling us what the shaitan said to his Lord. That the shaitan said, verily I will mislead them. And surely I will arouse in them false desires. And certainly I will order them to slit the ears of the cattle. And indeed, I will order them to change the nature created by Allah. And whoever, then Allah Ta'ala is saying, this coming is from Allah. Allah Ta'ala said, and whoever takes the shaitan, meaning, takes the shaitan, the shayateen, as a wali, a protector and guider and helper, instead of Allah, has surely suffered a manifest loss. Has surely suffered a manifest loss. He, meaning the shaitan, that's what Allah is saying, he, meaning the shaitan, makes promises to them and arouses them and arousing them false desires. And the shaitan promises and the shayateen's promises are nothing but deception. But deception. Then Allah Ta'ala said, the dwelling of such people is hell, and they will find no way of escape from it. And that is clear, ikhwan. Allah Ta'ala is telling you what your enemy have said. What your enemy have said. Allah Ta'ala told you what your enemy have said. Now, and then Allah Ta'ala told us that obeying the shaitan is not necessarily to be directly, because the shaitan has supporters, has helpers, has awliya. These are the kuffar. Whoever obeys the kuffar is obeying the shaitan. Now, and today, unfortunately, too many people trust the kuffar and obey the kuffar. Too many people trust the kuffar and obey the kuffar. Why? Because basically, people are living to what is in their hands. They don't live for the hereafter. They are not living for the hereafter. Their friend is what can provide them wealth. Their enemy is whoever takes wealth from them. That's it. Not the friend is the worshiper, the real worshiper, and the enemy is the disobeyer of Allah. No, it's not like that. Not like that. Now, Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 149. Ya ayyuha alladhina, warning, Allah Ta'ala is warning the believers. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in tuti'u alladhina kafaru, yaruddukum ala a'qabikum khasirin. Or you believe, if you obey those disbelievers, the kuffar, they will return you back, kuffar. Allah Ta'ala is warning us, saying, as in the interpretation of the, or the translation of the interpretation of this ayah, all you who believe, if you obey those disbelievers or kuffar, now, they will send you back on your heels, on your heels, and you will turn back from faith as losers. They will send you back on your heels. It does not necessarily mean as it warmly say, heels, but it means they return you back to where you had the first step towards Iman, towards success. Now you are getting lost instead of success. So Allah Ta'ala is warning you of that. Then I said, should the Muslims understand this thing very well so that they protect themselves, their families from the destruction, which is really in ignoring the ruling of Allah and in turning to another laws, to other laws other than the law of Allah, to other laws other than the law of Allah, and to a guidance other than the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People today, Muslims today, unfortunately, are doing so. They are using other laws other than the law of Allah. Not only the rulers, even the public, all the people, all the rulers uses man-made law. The public are calling for democracy. Man-made law. None of them is calling to go back to the Sharia of Islam, except for few. And this few, no one wants to listen to them. Or no one even wants to hear what they say. And even this few is not pure. It's not pure. It is mixed with many things. Either Rafida according to Sharia, which Sharia? It's not the Sharia of Allah. When the Rafida called to come to the Sharia, it is not the Sharia of Allah. It is the Sharia of their shayateen, their ayat. Or Sufis called, come back to the Sharia. Which Sharia? The Sharia of worshipping the graves. Very little number of people calling to the Sharia, which means the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the thing what we have to go back. Look here, Quran. Did Abu Bakr Siddiq or Umar or Azman or Ali go back to the Sufism? Go back to the Rafida? Go back to whatsoever? No. They only go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. That is the protection. That is the survive. Go back to the Quran and the Sunnah. All of us. We, the public and the rulers. Every one of us has to go back to the Quran and Sunnah. Everyone has to do his role. When the ruler do not play their role, you should not abandon your role and say, they don't play the role, I'm not going to play my role. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. You are going to be asked about yourself. He is going to be asked about himself. Everyone is going to be asked about himself. And remember that before you are asked any question in front of all mankind, you are going to be questioned alone. Alone in the grave. Think of it. Why Allah Ta'ala made three questions in the grave? Why? Aren't we going to be asked on the day of resurrection? Even those who answer the question properly in the grave is going to be asked again on the plain line of resurrection. Everyone is going to be asked there. So why two times? It is to remind you today that you are going to be asked alone in the grave. Alone. And that is the, as we say, the primary test, the primary exam. If you pass that, then you can pass the one after it. If you fail there, you're going to fail there in the plain line of resurrection. No doubt. So prepare. In the grave, you will look to nobody. Nobody is around you. You will see nothing because it's too dark. You're only going to see the angels questioning you and your deeds. What you've done in this world. So prepare for that moment. Prepare for that moment. So Allah Ta'ala warned us. And Allah Ta'ala warned us from taking any law other than the law of Islam. The law that He Subhanahu wa Ta'ala sent down to us. Naam? As a law to take. Allah Ta'ala said as in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 85. Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْأَخْسَرِينَ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So Allah Ta'ala is, and remember, see, I'm only bringing you the ayat that contains the word khasir, khasirin, loss and losers. Because as I said to you, when I gone through the Quran looking for this different format of this word, I found around 65 times and places Allah Ta'ala mentioned this. خَسِرُ خَسَارَ خُسْرَ يَخْسَرُونَ يَخْسَرُ خَاسِرُونَ خَاسِرِينَ خُسْرَانًا الْخُسْرَان. This the word I found. And from this word, what Allah Ta'ala said in this ayah 85 of Surah Al Imran, as in the translation of the interpretation, and whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted for him, of him. And in the hell, and in the hereafter, he will be one of the losers. Now, Islam does not necessarily only mean the way you pray, the month you fast, the place where you do your pilgrimage, Hajj. It's not only that. We have to remember the meaning, the proper meaning of Islam. Who can tell me what is the proper meaning of Islam in four words? In four words. Four words gives you the whole meaning of Islam. And it's as Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي. Four words. لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. What does that mean? قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, that's your prayer and your dua. وَنُسُكِي, that's your hajj and your slaughtering. وَمَحْيَايَ, the whole entire life of yours. Since you become sinner, until you die. Until you die. وَمَمَاتِ, even your death. You can't tell me I'm a martyr of the land. I'm a martyr of the this freedom. There is no martyr except في سبيل الله. One who is trying to raise Islam. That is the martyr. Other than that, all killed. Not a martyr. And they are going to the fire based on what they did. Except for the one who practiced the proper jihad, which is not seen today except maybe for very tiny place that you can only see by microscopes. It's not what you can see and read and hear on the media. This is not the jihad. Right? So we have to be careful. That is Islam. Islam is the whole entire life. And Allah Ta'ala warned us from obeying the kafirin and following a guidance other than the guidance of Rasulullah ﷺ. And he called it بخسران أو خاسر. As in سورة المائدة in آية 5 الله تعالى said as in سورة المائدة آية 5 نعم ومن يكفر بالإيمان فقد حبط عمله ومن يكفر بالإيمان فقد حبط عمله وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. الله تعالى said as in this ayah or سورة المائدة as in the interpretation or the meaning of this ayah, the meaning of the interpretation of this ayah, and now and whosoever disbelieves in faith, meaning in the oneness of Allah and the whole pillars of faith, نعم and whosoever disbelieve in faith then and fruitless in his work نعم and in the hereafter he will be among the losers so we have to be careful of that and we have to obey Allah and stick to his law that he subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us and not to be following the what the people found whether law as a law in the courts or law of life I don't mean that like the police traffic police law no but I mean law of how to be ruled now because many people today as you can see in many Muslim capitals they are raising their voices by freedom, by democracy, by like that, which is, and they want the people to rule, not Allah, which is absolutely wrong. Now, Allah Ta'ala said, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah again, ayah number 21, now, آية نمبر 20 سوري الله تعالى said فلا ترتدوا على ولا ترتدوا على أدباركم فتنقلبوا خاسرين in سورة المائدة in other سورة نعم so الله تعالى saying so do not go back to your heels or to your backs, so you'll be turned losers. After you be, when Allah Ta'ala says, فَتَنْقَلِبُ you become losers, it means that you were succeeding, you were approaching the success. But now you started the loss, because of what you are doing. This was the first khutbah, and then the second part of the khutbah, I praise Allah, and then send peace and blessing to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then I said, oh people, Allah Ta'ala summarized and concluded the causes of loss after he spoke about it widely in more than 60 ayat. He, Allah Ta'ala summarized it for us in one of the smallest surah of the Quran in the number of ayat. But it is one of the greatest surahs of the meanings that are stored and contained in this ayah. It is Surah Al-Asr, three ayat only. But as Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said that if Allah ta'ala sent down no surah but this, it would be sufficient as a proof against all mankind. Because Allah ta'ala in this surah gave them the great directions. Allah ta'ala said, وَالْعَصْرِ إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. By the time, verily mankind is in loss. except for those who believe and do good deeds and call one another to the haq, to the truth, and advise one another of patience. And now, where we can't see the implementation of this ayah today, where is it? If you look towards Cairo, if you look towards Tunisia, if you look towards Sana'a in Yemen, if you look towards Algeria, if you look towards many capitals, you don't see this surah. You don't see this surah. They are not having patience, they are not advising one another of the haqq that Allah Ta'ala said. Even those who say we don't want the president, we don't want this party or that party, they are not saying we want to replace them with Islam. They say we want republic, we want democracy, we want voting, we want this. Let the people choose their president. Let, subhanallah. Where is the call to go back to Allah's call and Allah's law and Allah's guidance? It's gone. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Allah Ta'ala swore in this surah by the time, which is the life of man, and it is the most valuable thing to you. Nothing is more valuable to you than your time, than your life. If you lose your life, you're finished. You have no value. You are now occupying this chair. If you die, the chair will be vacant. Halas. You lost. You have no value. You have no value. Now, and what Allah Ta'ala promised for, no doubt, which is the loss. The loss is going to exist. It's already existed. We can see it. Even blind people see it today, that the Muslims are losing in life. Muslims are losing against others. They are losing. And even for what they are won, meaning the Akhirah, they are losing. They are not worshipping Allah properly. Upon the way he sent his messenger with, subhanallah. And Allah Ta'ala accepted and exempted from this loss people who can bring four things all together. You cannot choose one of them or exempt one of them. So you have to take them all. What are they? Iman, which means to believe in your heart, declare with your tongue, and ask with your body limbs. Second is a good deed, which is established on sincerity for Allah. You're not showing off, you're not pleasing this or that. And the second, following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam completely. If you do anything sincerely but not on the way of Rasulullah sallam, it's not going to be accepted. As Isa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man amila amal laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa rad." And as Allah Ta'ala said, can Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said here, whoever does anything which is not from our matter, from our deed, then it's going to be rejected. And Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يَحْبُبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Say, if you really say that you love Allah, you're sincere for Allah, then follow me, Allah will love you. That means, if you don't follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, Allah Ta'ala did not say to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell the people, if you love Allah, love me, Allah will love you. No. Allah Ta'ala said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, if you love Allah, follow me. Follow. Your act is the only proof of your love. We cannot judge what is in your heart, because you cannot open your heart. Even if we cut it, we cannot see nothing. But what is the scale that we can use to prove you are honest or not in your love to Allah is your deed. If your deeds adhere with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you are somebody who is sincere, hopefully. But if you say that you are sincere and your deeds is other than what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind, and when you ever call to it you refuse, then you are a liar. You cannot be somebody who loves Allah, because Allah Ta'ala gave us that. say, oh Muhammad, to them, if you love Allah, then follow me. Allah will love you. So Allah will never love you if you don't follow Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إلا الذين and then Allah Ta'ala said, now, except those who believe and did the good deeds. And then, now we said, and they advised one another with the truth. What is the truth? The truth that they believed in and they acted upon. What you believe and act upon is the truth. If it adheres what Rasulullah came with, then this is the truth. What do you need to do? You don't just know and do. Now you have to extend it. You have to expand it. You have to spread it. You have to go and call people to it. You have to go and teach people. Now you don't see people doing wrong and you keep quiet. Oh, Alhamdulillah, I'm saved. No, that's wrong. When you see somebody doing wrong, you have to advise him. If you are in a safe land, and it's a piece of land, and you see somebody about to fall into something, huh? You cannot stay and say, "Khalas, you are a killer." If you see him and you know that it's going to kill him, and you leave him. If you see somebody who comes from village, doesn't know what is electricity, and you see him coming to hold the bare cable, which has live power, and you know that he's going to die with it, and you keep quiet, you are a killer. You are a killer. You killed him because you did not warn him. So, same thing. If you know the haq, you have to teach it to the people. Islam. And this does not necessarily mean you just tour around the world and teach. Not. But I mean, when you see something wrong, you advise. Now, they said, holding the sunnah of Rasulullah and staying away from anything that people do which Rasulullah did not know. You stay away from it. And the fourth is advising one another with patience. Be patient. Now, and patience is in three things. Patience in performing the obedience of Allah. You need patience. Now you are sitting. The masjid was about full. Only number of you are staying. Maybe 10, 11. The rest gone. They have no patience. You guys are paying patience. This patience is not for nothing. Allah is rewarding you for it. Allah is rewarding you for patience on obedience of Allah. And patience from the disobedience of Allah. You see the disobedient, you stay away. You see people today, they go for khamr, they go for riba, they steal, they lie, they do, and you stay away from it. They are getting rich by that, but you stay away with what Allah Ta'ala gave you, even if it is dry bread. But you find sufficiency with that because you don't want to go to the haram. People go to cinema, people watch TV, people do, but you stay away only with your Quran and tasbih and istighfar. This patience, which means refraining away from the disobedience of Allah, it's not going for nothing. It's going to be rewarded. You are going to be highly rewarded for. And it is obligatory, it's not optional. And then you have patience on the destiny of Allah, that He, Allah Ta'ala, wrote for you. Maybe you lose your sighting, maybe you lose one eye, maybe you lose one hand, maybe you lose one child, maybe you lose your will, maybe you lose whatsoever, maybe something harm, yani, falls on you, maybe something like that. So, you need to be patient. You need to be patient. You do not object. You do not ask Allah why. You do not reduce your worship because, oh, I worshipped and I didn't see something good coming to me. Now that's all wrong. You have to be patient. You have always to say Alhamdulillah. You have always to say Alhamdulillah and be patient with it. Now, so as I said then at the end, and whenever the whole ummah of Islam, parties and individuals, rulers and public, when they are all found performing or willing to perform the guidance of this surah, Surah Al-Asr, then believe me, victory from Allah Ta'ala will be given to them. Against anybody, against any country, against any army, against any power, they are going to win. Now, and the pleasure is going to be given to them in this life world and in the hereafter. Tell me, Ikhwan, who are poorer? Us at this time or the Sahaba? Tell me of you, who had ever put a stone on his stomach and tied on it because of the hunger? The Sahaba did that. Tell me, who of you ate from the trees in the street because of hunger and no food? The Sahaba did that. Tell me, who of you used to falls unconscious because of hunger? The Sahaba had that. Abu Huraira had that many times. Not only the Sahaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had that. So who's more poor? More poor? Them, not us. We are rich today. The very poor one of us today, compared to them, is very rich. But they had patience. This wasn't, and they considered it. And let me ask you another question. Who is more secure, them or us? Them, not us. Them, not us. They are more secure. Who used to live more convenient and comfortable? Them or us? Wallahi, them, not us. One of them may find the shade of a tree and lay down and sleep, and this equals to him being a king. Today we live, every one of us has AC in his house. Every one of us has a bed in his house. Every one of us has a stove, oven, fridge, everything in the house. But yet, we complain of uncomfortable life. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is not pleased with what we are doing. We need to please Allah Ta'ala by accepting whatever He gives us. Huh? And whenever they hold the guidance of this surah, believe me, no fear going to fall on them, and they would never be found sad here in this surah, in this world, nor in the hereafter. This was the whole khutbah of today. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.